Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach, and today we have with us Vince Shorb, who's the CEO of the National Financial Educators Council. Vince, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Hey, I'm excited to talk to you because I think the financial education is so critical, and the earlier the better. And I know you advocate, starting with the kids, and that's so wonderful. So I want to hear all about what you do. But give us a little bit of background on your entrepreneurial journey and also your financial journey and lessons you've learned along the way. And then we'll dive into some of the ways that you serve your clients and your community.
Yeah, we'll jump back into the second grade. I was collecting cans, selling lizards, selling frogs, right? I always had a passion for that type of entrepreneurial endeavor. Over the years, that changed. I got interested in investing in real estate early on. I got invested into different businesses early on. So I always had that entrepreneurial spirit. I always had that interest in me. And it was really fueled by my grandfather and my dad. They always had that passion for doing things of that nature, at least studying those aspects. So that's really where that fire was born. The passion for this business, financial education, came through my own financial challenges through the college years, which is common, getting into debt, experiencing some very challenging situations. And then in the conversation with my mom, when I ended my financial service career, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do next. And she said, "You always talked about, bringing financial literacy into schools when you, and you're upset in high school that it wasn't there." Mm. And so that started this chapter of my life, which has been 15 years and running.
Yeah. It's so rare that you see in high school or college, a personal finance, like just normal things, how to balance a checkbook or ways to, avoid debt. And unfortunately, I know you could speak to this, but money is one of the strongest levers to making people happy or not. It ruins marriages, it ruins lives, and I can relate with you on, making those mistakes back in the early days right out of college and trying to dig out of that, and it was not fun. So I think that's really awesome. So then tell me a little bit about the foundation. Is that something, is that a nonprofit that you had formed, and what's the focus there that you do with that?
Yeah, the National Financial Educators Council was really, we didn't start as a council. We started boots on the ground delivering financial education and coaching programs. When we had some big success with larger events and people recognized us for what we were doing, people started to ask us for materials, support, and help with their programs. So now we're focused on scaling and building programs in communities across the country, but we are in 60-plus countries as well. Where we're providing the training, support, and resources to those individuals so they can build and scale local financial wellness programs. And that's our whole focus now, is helping them do that. We recently became a certified B Corporation that highlights our efforts not only for social impact, but how we treat our workers, our focus on governance, and all these other factors that play a role in building a company that's helping more than just people outside, but also our internal personnel.
Yeah, I think it's spectacular. I want to dive into B Corp because I know that's a unique thing, because I think a lot of people hear, CSR, corporate social responsibility, and yeah, we write a check once a year to this local cause and it makes us feel great for 2 seconds. Or, one time a year we go down and help, whatever the case is, and that's wonderful. But when you are a B Corp and you have a social, cause focus there, that's pretty amazing. And it, I actually have seen some teachings and research on the halo effect. And I think that probably ties into some of the ways that you would also set these things up. But the halo effect basically of, wow, your company does X, but wow, look at all this other great things you do in the community. And it kind of puts that little halo around the company, helps draw a little bit more feeling and emotion into the brand. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's a great point. And when it's done right, it can have a real positive impact on the brand. And that's what we try to help people do. Part of our business model is having local financial service sponsors sponsor our programming in communities. So we traditionally, typically work with only those in financial services because there's affiliation with the cause, right? They're in financial services. Their goal, no matter if they're a mortgage broker, a realtor, financial advisor, is to help people work toward financial wellness. We're a financial wellness company. So there's an affiliation there. The second thing I think is also important, as you mentioned it or alluded to it, is authentic participation.
Yeah.
Writing a check, right? It's not just, you know, sending something in. If you really want to, you know, capture that halo effect and that, you know, develop your CSR, corporate social responsibility campaign, you really need to participate in that in an authentic way that's meaningful. So it's ingrained in your company's DNA. So people just don't see it on an ad or two. They're seeing you experience that, you know, engage with that community in that way, and with the end goal to truly benefit the community and the people that you're trying to help.
100%. And I think that you also have to fight the urge to go, wow, I hear that that halo effect is strong. In fact, I've heard some stats that say if a company is participating in these CSR type activities and you have that halo effect, you kind of get a little bit of a get out of jail free card and a pass if something, you know, hiccups in the relationship, and because they're like, oh, that's fine. That's fine. That's wonderful. That's one of the byproducts, I'm sure, but it should not be the focus. In other words, you should not structure your business to just, you know, be distracting people to go, hey, look at this thing we're doing over here, and then doing bad business. So you want to make sure that the intent is there, that authenticity, like you mentioned. So what do you recommend a brand to think about? Okay, if we want to take our brand, personal or professional, to the next level, and we want to start focusing on some of these social causes, how do you pick the right one? And then how do you go about announcing it and communicating it in your messaging website so that it comes off authentic?
Yeah, excellent point. And what I would suggest is, number one, make sure it's aligns with your brand. That brand alignment is critical. So if you're a sporting goods store in Downey, California, but you're passionate about saving the endangered pumas of South Africa, that may not be a fit for your business. For you personally, that's fine, but you may not want to bring that over to your business. Instead, maybe you sponsor a local sporting goods team that has that affiliation. The second thing is making sure that you carry that over from your marketing to your client experience. We see a lot of times there's a lot of front-end loaded of this CSR doing good type of messaging early on to acquire a client. Then once the client is acquired, that they forget about it. And I think the last strategy I'll mention here is on the marketing side. One of the big benefits I think a lot of people miss out on is being able to leverage that partner for co-marketing and co-promotion to extend your reach and frequency. So, you know, finding that partner, that group, that cause you want to support that has good management, that's passionate about this, and that wants to promote and market your affiliation as well, is really key to extending that reach.
Yeah, that's really, really big, and that kind of ties into the marketing concept called IMC, Integrated Marketing Communications. Well, from the marketing standpoint, you want to make sure that your messaging is consistent across all channels. Well, from what you just said, we want to make sure that our CSR, our halo effect, is being talked about and exemplified in all areas of the business, not just the front end megaphone side of the marketing piece, but then in, for instance, even the person answering the phones, even the salespeople, even the customer service reps, they should be alluding to the fact that, hey, thanks for being our customer, because as you know, we're donating a percentage of these to the whatever cause. And it just ties into that, you know, really it's then that brand vision and that brand identity.
I definitely agree. And you bring up a good point, having that team trained so they can communicate effectively, not only communicate, but they're part of it. They feel a passion toward it. And we can integrate them in ways like, you know, if it's a cause they can get involved in, donate time in, so that they really get connected on an emotional level and a value level as well.
And I know there's a lot of ways to quote unquote do that, do this, like, you know, the BOGO, buy one, give one, you know, the classic Tom Shoes example and things, or we're going to get, you know, a percentage of every dollar goes toward. And those are pretty much, I would suspect, the vanilla just normal ways. But what are some creative ways that brands could integrate in with their cause and then tie in with the cause to make sure that even, you know, because the cause would certainly want to promote that company because they know that, you know, something's, you know, coming back a two-way street.
Definitely. And I think that's really rooted in understanding the group you are serving. You know, how do they typically get out there? How do they typically engage with that community and finding ways that you can engage with them? So I think that alignment with that organization is important and understand, hey, what are the things they do? Are they the high profile in your face type thing? And do you want to be involved with that? Or then the more low key, let's build up a ground force of people that are helping and volunteering and do that way. So whenever people are reaching out to these organizations, I think it's critical. They're not just looking at cause, but what type of marketing, how is that company communicating? Does that fit my brand? Does that fit my values? And making sure there's alignment there so that, you know, that participation is discussed in advance of becoming that partner, and really looking out for the needs of that organization and determining, does that match how I want to get my message out as well?
Mm-hmm. So let's kind of now move on or back up or, you know, take a shift into financial literacy. What really does that mean? Because I think that a lot of people, if they were given the quiz, do you feel you're financially literate? A lot would go, sure. But then when you dig in, they're like, oh, yeah. I guess not to that level.
Yeah. You know, we do a test each year. We've had over 100,000 people tested on our national test. And of 15 to 18 year olds, the average score each year is between 60 and 66%. So really failing grades as far as basic things. As they get older, you know, it's a little higher, but I think the adults are 70, 75% each year. So people don't have the content knowledge, but to me, financial literacy means a lot more. It means more than just understanding what a good credit score is. It means more than knowing how to define ROI. So when we look at financial literacy, content knowledge is one area, but we're also looking at the behaviors. Do the behaviors they establish align with their longer term goals? We look at their sentiment or confidence to make financial decisions. We also look at the systems they have in place to manage their finances and the team members. When we look at it holistically like that, we see a lot better results than just doing a basic content knowledge type focused course. And we're addressing the core areas that will help them lead to hopefully greater financial strength.
Yeah, I kind of think of it too, like when you play chess and you make a move and you leave your finger on there and you look around going, okay, should I make this move or not? Oh, no, I'm going to do something different. But as long as your finger's on the piece, then you're good to go. Well, with the financial move, same kind of a thing. If you make the wrong financial move, it could be pretty bad. So what are some if this, then that kind of things that people should be keeping in mind for making a financial move that would tie into, you know, making sure their financial literacy is polished up?
Yeah, people do freeze a lot when they don't have that confidence. So first thing I tell people is gain knowledge for yourself, enough to have an intelligent conversation with a professional, right? Now, if you don't have enough money to invest or buy real estate or make those types of purchases, your options are limited because what people run into is they'll run into salespeople. So if I'm in debt, I want to get out, I go to a bankruptcy site. Oh, bankruptcy is the answer. Or if I go to a debt consolidation site, oh, debt consolidation is the answer. Mm-hmm. So really that's where the educators and coaches come in to provide that bias-free information. But first things first, get that knowledge, right? If you need to bring in somebody to consult and get that added support, it could be not even an educator or coach. It'd be somebody you trust, you know, on with a podcast. It could be a family member that has proven success and has knowledge in those areas. But the goal is to gain that confidence so you can make an effective decision without the bog down of those emotions. Whenever we work with people, whether coach or education setting, one of the things they say is most valuable is being able to, you know, where our coaches and educators make a more logical, help them make that more logical decision rather than that stressful, oh, I'm just going to pull the trigger now because the pain will be gone and then I can move on whether it's good or not. I pulled my trigger. So that's the goal of anytime you have that third party input, it can help make more logical decisions.
100% is kind of like, get that multitude of counselors and different perspectives. And also, this is something that I've said over and over again. You want to make sure when you do go get that advice, you don't go to the people you know are just going to agree with you, smile and pat you on the back. You want to go to the people that actually are going to go, well, hold on a second. Have you thought about this? And so having that, objective third party advice is super important, right?
I definitely agree.
So what is your main service to individuals or organizations? What would be a trigger for them to say, okay, that makes some great sense. I need to reach out, connect with Vince.
Yeah, really, we work with a very diverse group from entrepreneurs to nonprofits to faith-based colleges, government groups, financial services. But they all have a similar mission and a goal. They want to help people with their finances, right? They want to help them work toward financial wellness. So it's a really random type of group of people with one shared cause, which is wonderful. And our role in it is just to help them reduce the time costs and the frustration of trying to build something from scratch. When we started, it took us many years, many missteps, many mistakes to develop a program and system for those that want to bring financial education and coaching to their community. So our role really is providing them that guidance, the resources, and those steps to do so effectively.
Yeah, why try to reinvent the wheel when you guys have it done and people can plug right in? And so I think that is spectacular. And then you kind of have then that compound effect, because you are out there championing the cause and learning more and bringing that back to your community and the people that you're serving. So, yes, when financial literacy, resources can be obtained through you guys and then you learn something, you're passing that on and then everyone wins.
Yeah, and I have to say the feedback over the last decade on our resources from, tens of thousands of people has been extremely valuable, because that's what tells us what we need to adjust, what we need to improve, how we tweak things. So that feedback from our clients and people that our clients were serving has been hugely valuable.
Yeah, really, really amazing. Well, Vince, I've loved learning more about what you do. What's the best way someone could reach out, connect with you, and then maybe learn a little bit about your Financial Educators Council, and what's the best website address to use for that?
Yeah, they can go to financialeducatorscouncil.org or contact with me personally via LinkedIn at Vince Shorb, S-H-O-R-B, and would love to help you out any way I can.
Excellent. Vince, thank you so much for coming on. It's a real pleasure talking with you today.
Likewise, Mike. Thank you.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.